ವಿಚಕ್ಷಣ ಯಕ್ ಚರಣೋಪಷದನಾತ್ ಸಂಗಂ ಸಂಗಂ ವ್ಯದು ಸ್ವಭಯೋತೋ ಅಂತರಾತ್ಮನಃ ವಿಂದತಿ ಹಿ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಗತಿಂ ಗತ ವಿಂದತಿ ಹಿ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಗತಿಂ ಗತ ಕಲ್ಮಷ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಸುಭದ್ರ ಶ್ರವಸೇ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ವಿಚಿಕ್ಷಣ ಯಚ್ ಚರಣೋಪಷಾದನಾತ್ ಸಂಗಂ ವ್ಯದ್ಯಸ್ಯುಭಯತೋ ಅಂತರಾತ್ಮನಃ ವಿಂದತಿ ಹಿ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಗತಿಂ ಕಲ್ಮಷ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಸುಭದ್ರಾ ಶ್ರವಸೇ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ವಿಚಿಕ್ಷಣ ಯಕ್ ಚರಣೋಪಷಾದನಾತ್ ಸಂಗಂ ವ್ಯದಸೋ ಭಯತೋ ಅಂತರಾತ್ಮನಃ ವಿಂದತಿ ಹಿ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಗತಿಂ ಗತಕಲ್ಮಾ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಸುಭದ್ರೋ ಶ್ರವಸಿ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ವಿಚಿಕ್ಷಣ ಯಚ್ಚರಣೋಪಷಾದನಾತ್ ಸಂಗಂ ವಿದಸಯೋ ಭಯತೋ ಅಂತರಾತ್ಮನಃ ವಿಂದತಿ ಹಿ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಗತಿಂ ಗತಕ್ಲಮಾಸ್ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಸುಭದ್ರಾ ಶ್ರವಸೇ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಎನಿವನ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಲೇಡೀಸ್? ವಿಚಿಕ್ಷಣ ಹೈಲಿ ಇಂಟೆಲೆಕ್ಚುಯಲ್ ಯತ್ ಹೂಸ್ ಚರಣ ಉಪಾಶದನಾತ್ ಸಿಂಪ್ಲಿ ಡೆಡಿಕೇಟಿಂಗ್ ಒನ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಅನ್ ಟು ದ ಲೋಟಸ್ ಫೀಟ್ ಸಂಗಮ್ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ವ್ಯುದಸ್ಯ ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ಅಪ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ಲಿ ಉಭಯತ ಫಾರ್ ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಫ್ಯೂಚರ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟೆನ್ಸ್ ಅಂತ ಆತ್ಮನಃ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಹಾರ್ಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸೋಲ್ ವಿಂದಂತಿ ಮೂವ್ಸ್ ಪ್ರೋಗ್ರೆಸಿವ್ಲಿ ಹಿ ಸರ್ಟನ್ಲಿ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಗತಿಂ ಟುವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟೆನ್ಸ್ ಗತಕ್ಲಮಃ ವಿದೌಟ್ ಡಿಫಿಕಲ್ಟಿ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಅಂಟು ಹಿಂ ಸುಭದ್ರ ಆಲ್ ಆಸ್ಪಿಷಿಯಸ್ ಶ್ರವಸೆ ಅಂಟು ಒನ್ ಹೂ ಈಸ್ ಹರ್ಡ್ ನಮಃ ಮೈ ಡ್ಯೂ ಒಬೇಸೆನ್ಸಸ್ ನಮಃ ಅಗೇನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಅಗೇನ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪರ್ಪೋರ್ಟ್ ಬೈ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಶಿಲಾ ಎ ಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್. Let me offer my respectful obeisances again and again unto the all auspicious Lord Krishna, the highly intellectual, simply by surrendering unto his lotus feet, are relieved of all attachments to present and future existence and without difficulty progress towards spiritual existence. Lord Sri Krishna, the purport by Srila Prabhupada, Lord Shri Krishna has repeatedly instructed Arjuna, or for that matter, everyone concerned with becoming his unalloyed devotee. In the last phase of his instruction in Bhagavad Gita, he instructed most confidentially as follows. Sarva guhyatamam bhuya shrinu me paramam vacha ishtashi me dhrita iti tato vakshyam he hitam. ಮದ್ಮನಾಭವ ಮದ್ಭಕ್ತೋ ಮದ್ಯಾಜಿ ಮಾಂ ನಮಸ್ಕುರು ಮಾಂ ಏವೈಷಸಿ ಸತ್ಯಂ ತೇ ಪ್ರತಿಜಾನಿ ಪ್ರಿಯೋಸಿ ಮೇ ಸರ್ವಧರ್ಮಾನ್ ಪರಿತ್ಯಜ ಮಾಮೇಕಂ ಶರಣಂ ವ್ರಜ ಅಹಂ ತ್ವಂ ಸರ್ವ ಪಾಪೇಭ್ಯೋ ಮೋಕ್ಷಯಿಷ್ಯಾಮಿ ಮಾ ಸೂಚ. ಮೈ ಡಿಯರ್ ಅರ್ಜುನ, ಯು ಆರ್ ವೆರಿ ಡಿಯರ್ ಟು ಮೀ, ಅಂಡ್ ದೇರ್ ಫೋರ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಫಾರ್ ಯೋರ್ ಗುಡ್ ಐ ವಿಲ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ಲೋಸ್ ದ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಸೀಕ್ರೆಟ್ ಪಾರ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೈ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ರಕ್ಷನ್. ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಸಿಂಪ್ಲಿ ದಿಸ್: Become a pure devotee of mine and you give yourself unto me. And I promise you full spiritual existence, by which you may gain the eternal right of transcendental loving service unto me. Just give up all other ways of religiosity and exclusively surrender unto me and believe that I will protect you from all your sinful activities and I shall deliver you. Don't worry anymore. Persons who are intelligent take serious note of this last instructions of Lord. Knowledge of the self is the first step of spiritual realization, which is called confidential knowledge. And a step further is God realization, which is more confidential knowledge. The culmination of the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is God realization. And when one attains this stage of God realization, he naturally, voluntarily becomes a devotee of the Lord to render his loving transcendental service. This devotional service to the Lord is always based on love of God and is distinct from the nature of routine service as prescribed in Karma Yoga, Gyan Yoga or Dhyan Yoga. In Bhagavad Gita, there are different instructions for such men of different categories and there are various descriptions for Varnashrama Dharma, Sannyas Dharma or Yati Dharma, the renounced order of life, controlling the senses, meditation, perfection of mystic powers, etc. But one who has fully surrendered unto the lotus feet and to render service unto him out of spontaneous love for him factually assimilates the essence of all knowledge described in the Vedas. One who adopts this method very skillfully attains perfection of life at once. And this perfection of human life is called Brahmagati or the progressive march in spiritual existence. As enunciated by Srila Jiva Goswami on the basis of Vedic assurances, Brahmagati means to attain a spiritual form as good as that of Lord. In that form, the liberated living entity eternally lives on one of the spiritual planets situated in the spiritual sky. Attainment of this perfection of life is easily available to a pure devotee of Lord without his undergoing any difficult method of perfection. Such a devotional life is full of kirtanam, smaranam, ikshanam, etc. As mentioned in the previous verse, one must therefore adopt this simple way of devotional life in order to attain the highest perfection available in any category of the human form of life in any part of the world. When Lord Brahma met Lord Krishna as a playful child at Vrindavan, he offered his prayer in which he said, Shreya Shritim Bhaktim Udasya Te Vibho Klishyanti Ye Kevala Bodha Labhyate Tesham Asau Kleshala Eva Shishyate Nanya Jatha Sthula Tushala Gatinam. Bhakti Yoga is the highest quality of perfection to be achieved by the intelligent person in lieu of performing a large quantity of spiritual activities. The example cited here is very appropriate. A handful of paddy rice is more valuable than the heaps of paddy skins without substance within. Similarly, one should not be attracted by the jugglery of karmakand or gyanakand or even the gymnastic performances of yoga, but skillfully should try to take to the simple performance of kirtan and smaran, etc., under a bona fide spiritual master, and without any difficulty attain the highest perfection. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tvam Sajivam సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ పదాన్ సహగనా లలిత శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితంశ్చ నమామి విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామీనితి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణే జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ ఓ కెన్ యూ జస్ట్ పుట్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ ఫ్యాన్ హరే కృష్ణ సో బిఫోర్ ఐ బిగిన్ ఐ లైక్ టు బెగ్ ఫార్ బ్లెస్సింగ్స్ ఫ్రమ్ ది డివోటీస్ ద సీనియర్ డివోటీస్ హూ ఆర్ అసెంబ్ల్డ్ హియర్ సో దట్ ఐ కెన్ స్పీక్ సంథింగ్ వర్ది సిట్టింగ్ ఆన్ దిస్ వెరీ ప్యూర్ వ్యాసాసన్ ఐఎమ్ నాట్ క్వాలిఫైడ్ టు సిట్ హియర్ అట్ ఆల్ హవెవర్ since the authorities have ordered me, I'll try to speak something that I have been hearing from various devotees since so many years. So here, in this particular verse, Srila Sukadeva Goswami is answering the different questions which Maharaj Parikshit has asked in the beginning of this canto. So various questions were asked by Maharaj Parikshit to Sukadeva Goswami, and before he could start answering the questions of Maharaj Parikshit, Sukadeva Goswami is actually invoking the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And this particular verse is also one of the verses of that particular series wherein Sukadeva Goswami is glorifying the beautiful qualities and the pastimes and various, basically the qualities of Lord Krishna. And in one of this verse which we are discussing today, he is actually paying obeisances to Supreme Lord. Let me offer my respectful obeisances again and again unto the auspicious Lord Shri Krishna, the highly intellectual people or the highly intellectual, simply by surrendering unto his lotus feet are relieved of all attachments to the present and future existence, and without difficulty progress towards spiritual existence. So here Srila Sukadeva Goswami is actually speaking about the devotees of the Lord, the qualities of the Supreme Lord and the qualities of the devotees. What is he saying? He is saying here that the devotees are highly intellectual, and simply by surrendering unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, what happens? The effect of surrendering into the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, the devotees are relieved of all attachment to the present and future existence. And second thing that he is mentioning here is what happens when they are freed from all the attachment to present and future existence, what happens is they, without any difficulty, progress towards this spiritual existence. So firstly, here, Sukadev Goswami Maharaj is addressing the devotees as highly intellectual. Now in various places in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna also addresses devotees to be intelligent. And here also Sukadev Goswami is addressing them as intelligent. Now what this intelligence means, is it, are they speaking about the extra grey matter that the devotees have within their head? Or are these devotees, are these people, I mean Krishna or Sukadev Goswami, speaking about something else? So all the Shastras and Acharyas tells that the devotees are called intelligent not for the knowledge that they possess. Of course, the knowledge is there. But based on that knowledge, it is the right choices that the devotee makes in their life. That is what makes them intelligent. So, in our life, you know, it is said that life is all matter of choices. So moment by moment, we are supposed to make choices. We have right and wrong, we have righteous and non-righteous or unrighteous in front of us. Every time, in every situation, every moment of our life, we have choices to do. Many times, there is a choice we made between Krishna or Maya. So, based on these choices that we do, our destiny is decided. And a devotee is intelligent because he always makes right choices. Just like, you know, there is a story wherein there was a disciple of Jesus Christ, and he was always very sick, and different kind of medications were done on him, but he was actually not getting cured of that particular disease. So the disciples of Christ approached him, and he told about this particular disciple, that this particular disciple of yours is sick, and it's been many months that he is not recuperating. So please do something for him. So Jesus Christ went to him and he asked him to fast for whole month. So he told him that you please fast for whole month without eating anything or drinking anything. So now the disciples of Jesus were actually surprised. They said that he is already sick. And on that, Lord Jesus is asking him to fast. But then, what happened? The disciple, although he was reluctant, but he had to make a choice. He thought that if I follow the instructions of my spiritual master, then probably I may undergo pain, I may undergo inconveniences, but probably the end will be good. So he decided. Many of his disciples actually became very, disappointed with this particular instruction of Jesus. But this particular disciple, he decided to fast for 1 month. And he fasted. He became very lean and weak. But then after 1 month, Jesus went to this disciple and he ordered some of his disciples to get a bowl full of milk, hot milk, asked them to put some honey in it and some camphor in it. And then this bowl of hot milk and ghee, not ghee, camphor and honey in it. He brought that bowl in front of this particular disciple who was suffering. And then he took that bowl very close to the mouth of this disciple and told him, "Open your mouth." Now this disciple was very much happy. He was relieved that after a fasting of 30 days, now at least I am getting some milk to drink. And he was anticipating that now I'll be able to drink this milk. But then Jesus told him, now you have to just open your mouth, not drink this milk. And the disciple and other people who were standing there were also again surprised at what is Jesus Christ trying to do. So then this disciple again thought that I have followed his instruction for last 1 month. Let me follow it for some more time. So he continued following his instruction for more time. And then, you know, a lot of time passed. But then Jesus Christ was not allowing him to drink milk. And he was just holding this bowl near his mouth. And lo and behold, after 40 to 45 minutes, what happened? A worm came out from the mouth of this particular disciple who was suffering. And he came out searching for this milk. With this aroma of this milk and the camphor and honey, the worm who was existing within the stomach of this disciple, who was actually taking away all the nutrition which was in, I mean, whatever food this disciple was eating, this particular worm was taking away all the nutrition. And that is the reason why this disciple was suffering. He was not able to gain any good health. And this worm, when it was fasted, when this disciple fasted, even the worm also fasted. So, after 30 days of fasting, this worm also came out of his mouth, searching for the food. And as soon as it came out of his mouth, Jesus removed him and crushed him to death. So, here we see that how this disciple made a right choice. And based on this choice, he could decide his destiny. So similarly, the Supreme Lord also gives us innumerable opportunities to make good choices. However, out of our foolishness, we keep on making wrong choices. And what happens? Consequently, we are entangled in the cycle of birth and death. So today we'll try to see some of the examples of how our destiny is decided because of the choices that we make. And Govindpu some years back was giving a beautiful example from Mahabharata and Ramayana. He said that two personalities existed on this earth in the history of mankind who made their decisions foolishly, and because of those wrong choices they had to suffer eternally. And first of this person, these two people, was Duryodhan. So as we know how envious Duryodhan was of the Pandavas, and because of his wrong choices, it is said, he had to undergo a lot of pain and suffering. So even Duryodhan had got opportunities to make right choices. It is not that he didn't got, right? However, it is said that people who are completely allured by sense gratification, by material benefit, cannot see the right thing. In Niti Shastra it is said that there are four type of blind people. Naivam Pashyanti Janmanda, Tamandha Naiva Pashyanti, Arthi Dosham Naiva Pashyanti, Madon Matta Naiva Pashyanti. So there are four types of blind people. The first blind is the born blind. Janmandha Naiva Pashyanti. Second blind is Kamandha Naiva Pashyanti. The one who is blinded by the drive of sense gratification. He cannot see what is good and what is bad. Arthi Dosham Na Pashyanti, one who is driven by the greed to make money. Even that person cannot see what is right, what is wrong. And fourth is Madonmatta Naiva Pashyanti, the person who is completely intoxicated by pride. So these are the four types of people who cannot see and they cannot discriminate what is good and bad, what is right and wrong, what is righteous and what is unrighteous. And Duryodhan is a classic example of the same thing. He also was completely driven by pride, by kama, or the desire to get more. And that is the reason why he could not see. Pashyan apina pashyati. Although you are seeing something, but you are not seeing. So even Duryodhana knew the prowess of Arjuna and Bhima. Right from his childhood, he has seen Arjuna and Bhima excelling in all the departments than Kauravas. In fact, when the Kauravas attacked the Virat kingdom, that time we know how Arjuna, who was actually in form of eunuch, single-handedly defeated all the great warriors from Kaurava party. And Bhima also had excelled Duryodhana every time, right from the childhood. Still, Arjuna could not understand this. He could not see. Not only that, Krishna himself has instructed him so many times. Such people are people who cannot understand even after repeated hearings, even after experiencing, and even after seeing. So first level is to hear about something. The fool do not understand after hearing. Then he sees something. And even after seeing, he doesn't understand. He has to experience that particular thing. Then probably he may understand what is right, what is wrong. In case of Duryodhana, he heard from the great acharyas like Bhishma, from his spiritual master Dronacharya, Vidura. Everyone had told him, they guided him, they instructed him. But still, Duryodhana could not understand. And even Krishna himself had given him different choices. When he went as a messenger, the Shanti Dut, he gave him choices. He told him that if you consider Pandavas as your seniors, because they were elder to him, then out of that respect, please give them their right, whatever they are actually supposed to get. Okay, if you don't consider them senior, if you consider them, inferior to you, then you please, you consider them as juniors or inferior, then as inferior, you give them as charity, three villages. And if you consider them as equals, then be considerate towards them. So Krishna gave them three different choices. However, Duryodhana could not understand. He could not see. In fact, he ordered his soldiers to arrest Krishna when he came as a Shantidut. And of course, we know how Krishna displayed his universal form to Duryodhana. And in spite of seeing the universal form, Krishna or Duryodhana was not able to understand the divinity of Lord Krishna. He ordered his soldiers to arrest him. So, the same universal form when Krishna saw or Arjuna saw on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he completely surrendered himself to Lord Krishna. So here we can see that how a Duryodhana was a great fool. Why? Because he landed up making wrong choices always, although the Supreme Lord gave him so many opportunities. And second example that he gave was of Ravana. Ravana also was so much intoxicated with his power and his strength that he had the audacity to kidnap Sita Devi. And then even Ravana was instructed and guided by his brother Vibhishan. He was guided by Hanumanji. He was even told by Angad when he came, and he showed his prowess in front of all his soldiers. But Ravana could not understand. In fact, when Hanumanji was caught by Ravana and he destroyed all the army single-handedly, and he killed so many of his big warriors. And when he was captured by Meghnath and brought in front of Ravana, that time Hanumanji told that, "I am a Shantidut of Lord Ram." And we know who has been sent as Shantidut. One of the very insignificant soldier of, from your particular army. So Lord Ram has chosen me as Shantidut. So that means I am one of the insignificant soldiers in his army. And you saw what this insignificant soldier of Lord Ram's army can do. I can single-handedly kill one of your powerful warriors and, destroy all your whole kingdom and create so much chaos in your kingdom. Just a single small messenger from Lord Ram's army. Then imagine what can those lakhs and lakhs of monkeys who are much better than me can do to your whole kingdom. So even that particular guidance or instruction was given by Hanumanji to Ravana. But Ravana could not understand any of these words. So therefore, we, through these classic examples of Ravana and Duryodhana, can understand that how important it is to make right choices in our life. One of the author, he said that our life is also compared to a book. And just like there are different chapters in book, similarly, in our life or the book of our life, there are also various chapters. And just like every chapter has a different number of pages, similarly, in our life also, the different chapters that are there have different number of pages. Some of the chapters in books have 100 pages, 200 pages. However, in our life, every chapter is of 365 number of pages. So 1 year is like one chapter. And every one of us has written n number of chapters. For example, some has written 10 chapters. I mean, we have passed 10 years of our life. Some people have written 20. Some people have written 50 chapters in our life. And there are many more chapters to be written in our book of life. The past chapters, he says, because of our wrong choices, may have been smudgy, may have been full of, foul language, may have been of very, not so good handwriting because of our wrong choices that have made. But however, it is said that we have many more chapters to be written. And those chapters, how they will be written in a good language, in a good handwriting, with a better quality or color of ink. So that all depends upon our choices in life. So what kind of choices we make, it will actually decide what our further chapters of life will be. So that is the beauty of making right choices. So now that we've seen the examples of people who had made wrong choices and the consequent destiny or the reactions that they got, now we'll also look into how the devotees of Lord, who are called here as intelligent, had made right choices in their lives. And what was the result that they got based on those right choices? So, as we have discussed, at every juncture of our life, we have the choices to make. So, devotees are also tested by Krishna. They have been tested in their life by giving different types of inconveniences, different type of challenges, allurations. And in such circumstances, Krishna sees that what choice devotee makes. So there are different examples that, Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures gives us, and they actually are like a beacon light for us, which gives us understanding of what are the right choices that we should make in different circumstances in our life. And those choices will actually decide whether we are pleasing Krishna or displeasing Him, or whether we are pleasing our Guru or we are displeasing our Guru. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are beautiful examples of this particular aspect of making right choices. And one of the shining example of making right choice in life is Srila Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj also was put into different difficulties and tormentations by his father. He was being tried to kill in so many different ways by Hiranyakashipu and his soldiers. All he had to do was to accept the words and the instruction of his father Hiranyakashipu. He had a very simple choice to make. However, Prahlad Maharaj chose to make a right choice. He, instead of surrendering to the instructions of his father, he chose to surrendering himself to the Supreme Lord. So that was the right choice that Prahlad Maharaj made in his life. And as a result of this particular choice, we know what was the consequences. He got the audience of Lord Narasimha Dev, who himself came out of the pillar to protect him. Another shining example is Dhruv Maharaj. Dhruv Maharaj also went to the forest to achieve kingdom greater than his forefather Lord Brahma. And then when he was performing this tapasya, he also underwent lot of tribulations. He had also underwent lot of challenges. But he was completely focused to achieve his goal. And then when he achieved his goal, that is, Lord Vishnu himself came in front of him. And after seeing Lord Vishnu, Prahlad Maharaj, paid obeisances and started. And in fact, Lord Vishnu was pleased with his tapasya and what all austerities that he performed. And Lord Vishnu, because Dhruva Maharaj wanted to glorify Lord Vishnu by different prayers, but he was not able to. So that time, Lord Vishnu touched his conch shell on the head of Dhruva Maharaj. And Dhruva Maharaj then gets completely purified of all the material desires. And he starts reciting beautiful, beautiful prayers in glorification of Lord Vishnu. And in one of these prayers, Dhruva Maharaj very nicely makes a right choice. So, Dhruva Maharaj had come to the forest with a desire to achieve something, a kingdom better than his forefather. However, when he was touched by the conch shell of Lord, he got purified. He immediately made a right choice. What was that choice? Sthanabilashi tapasi sthitoham tvam praptavan deva munindra guhyam kachan vichinvan apidivya ratnam swamin kritharthosmi varam nayachi. He said, Sthanabhilashi tapasi sthitoham. I came to the forest with the desire to achieve a kingdom greater than my forefather. However, Sthanabhilashi tapasi sthitoham tvam praptavan deva munindra guhyam. Now that I have achieved your darshan, which is even difficult for the devas and munis, Tvam praptavan deva munindra guhyam swamin krithartosmi varam nayache. He said, nahi, kachan vichinvan apidivya ratnam. I was looking for the broken pieces of glass. Till now, I was desiring for this big, huge kingdom and wealth and position. But now, so it was like looking for the broken pieces of glass. But now what I have found? I have found apidivya ratnam. I have found the most valuable jewel in the form of your darshan, in the form of devotional service. And therefore now, swamin krithartosmi varam nayache. I am completely satisfied. And I do not desire anything else now. So this was the choice that that Dhruva Maharaj made. He chose devotional service over material opulences and positions. So Dhruva Maharaj made this right choice. Next we see another example of Pingala in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Pingala also was looking for, she was a prostitute and she was looking for a right customer. However, she was frustrated. Whole day she could not find anyone. And all of a sudden, Pingala gets a wonderful realization. And she starts reciting different verses. And in these verses, she exhibits the futility of material life. And how unfortunate the living entity is that he has made right choice whole of his life, rejecting the Supreme Lord and accepting the material enjoyment over him. And this particular shloka, she says, Santam samipam ramanam ratipadam vitta pradam nityam imam vihaya akamadam dukkha bhayadi shokam moha pradam tuchham aham bhaje agya. She says, Santam samipam ramanam pratipadam, that although the Lord in form of the Supreme Soul is always within my heart, Santam samipam, always residing near my heart, and he is actually the one who gives us so much love. Santam samipam ramanam rati pradam vitta pradam nit. However, she says that I have given up the service to that particular person who is always within my heart, so close. And what have I chosen? I have instead ignorantly served The insignificant men who can never satisfy my real desires. Akamadam dukkha bhayadi shokam. I have chosen people who only gave me dukkha, bhay and shok. And I have given up the service to the personality of Godhead who eternally is situated in my heart and who is very dear to everyone and who is the bestower of real love and happiness. So Pingala is very graphically telling us that how we all have made that wrong choice in life, and that wrong choice is the reason of our dukkha, bhaya and shok. In Chaitanya Charitamrita also, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also very graphically shows us the miserable situation of the living entity and how that particular living entity, after coming in Krishna consciousness and making right choice, what happens to him. So, in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the process of devotional service chapter, says, Kamadinam katina katita palita durnideshas, tesham jatamai na karuna na tripa na upashanti, utsrijya etan atha yadupate buddhi labdhas, tomayata sharanam, abhayam ma niyungsate, niyungsatma dasya. So here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks about this particular verse and he says, Kamadinam katita kathina, that throughout my lifetime I have been, the living entity is been trying to serve the master. Who is this master? The senses, the sense gratification. In different ways, Kamadinam katita kathina, in different ways. And at different times, the living entity has tried to satisfy, serve the senses, the master, basically. The senses are like the master for him. And he has been trying to obey tesham kathita palita durnideshas. He has been trying to obey the instruction of this particular master. Durnideshas, it is said. He doesn't want to follow those instructions, but he had to follow the instructions. Palita durnideshas tesham jatamai nat karuna na tripa na upashanti. And still, after serving him for so many years, still this particular master is not satisfied. Tesham jatamai na karuna. He doesn't show any mercy. Na Tesham jatamai na karuna na tripa. He is not satisfied and he doesn't have any mercy on him. However, the living entity Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that after gaining some intelligence, he utsrijya etan, he has given up the service to this master and he has decided, now I will serve the lotus feet of the Lord. Tvam ayatam sharanam abhayam mam, and that particular service to you has given me abhayam. And therefore he is praying that please accept me as a servant at your lotus feet. So here again Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking about making the right choice. The living entity, what happens to him after making right choice? He becomes abhayam. And then last but not the least, we have an example of Maharaj Parikshit, who himself is asking the questions in this particular section. And Maharaj Parikshit also made a right choice when he was being cursed by the Brahmana boy, Sringi. He could have thought of, you know, enjoying the whole particular week, the 7 days that he had in his disposal. He could have thought that I have such big kingdom, so much wealth, I have family, I will, you know, utilize my time optimally and do all kind of sense gratification. However, even Maharaj Parikshit made a right choice. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, in this particular section only, that Atma Jaya Sutagara Pashu Dravina Bandushu Rajya Cha Vikale Nityam Virudam Mamata Jahu. That Maharaj Parikshit gave up Atma, his own body, Atma Jaya Sutagara. He gave up the pleasure of his own body, he gave up his wife, Atma Jaya Suta, his children, Agara, his palace, Dravina, Dravina means wealth. He gave up his own sense gratification, he gave up his wife, his children, his palace, his wealth. Pashu Dravina Bandhushu. It is said, Dravina means wealth, Bandhu means his family, his relatives. And Pashu means his horses, his cows and whatever he had, possessions. And then what did he do? Also Rajya Cha Vikale Nityam, Rajya, or his whole kingdom which was undisputed. Rajya Cha Avikale Nityam Virudam Mamata Jahu. Why did he give up? And what was the impetus for him to give up all these things? It was because of his wholehearted attraction for Lord Krishna. Because of his wholehearted attraction for Lord Krishna, he could make this right choice. And this is what we are speaking about. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan Ki Jai. So, I'll just conclude it with my last section by how Maharaj Parikshit, because of his intense attachment or attraction towards Lord Krishna, made a right choice. And here, the devotees are called intelligent because of the same thing, that because of their strong, intense attraction towards Lord Krishna, they make right choice. And as a result, this shloka, what does it say? That hence a devotee who makes a right choice and surrenders unto the lotus feet of Lord are relieved of all attachments to present and future existence, and without any difficulty progresses towards the spiritual existence. Now this particular section speaks about the progression towards the spiritual existence. That when a devotee like Prahlad Maharaj, like Itruv Maharaj, we discussed about, in fact I was going to tell you about even Tukaram Maharaj, he also made a right choice. And what was the result of that right choices? Here Krishna gives an assurance that such a devotee progresses towards the spiritual existence. So my last section speaks about how a devotee progresses towards the spiritual existence. So, in Ajamil episode, when Ajamil was rescued by Vishnudutas and Yamadutas were defeated by the arguments and logic which was put forward by the Vishnudutas, the Yamadutas went back to Yamaduta, to Yamaraj, and they present their irony in front of Yamaraji that this is what happened. So we are completely confused. Till now we thought that you are the master of the whole universe. However, we saw that there is someone else greater than you. And this devotee of Vishnu, the Ajamil, he was rescued from, in our history, this has never happened. This happened first time. So please enlighten us. What was all this? So that time, Yamaraji, he first time gets some opportunity to speak in front of Yamadutas about Srimad Bhagavatam or the glories of devotional service. So he doesn't leave this opportunity, and in two beautiful verses I will speak. Yamaraj ji establishes the glory of devotional service in front of Yamadutas. And this is a great hope for all the devotees. present here. So, Yamaraji in his shloka, he speaks. So here, the Yamaduta actually questions Yamaraji that who are the people whom we should get into this Yamalok? Because we saw that this Ajamil had performed so many sinful activities and still we could not get him here. So what was it that, you know, makes or sets Ajamil apart from all the other people? So please make a clear, definition. Give us a clear definition as to whom we should get and whom we should not get here. So that time, Yamaraji tells that Tan anaya dhavan asato vimukham. So he speaks about the okay, I'll speak the verse directly. Okay. So Yamaraji says, Te Dev Siddha Parigita Pavitra Gatha Ye Sadhava Samadrisho Bhagavat Prapannam Tan Anaya Dhavan Tan Na Upashidita Gadher Harer Gadaya Abhigupta Naisham Vayam Nachavayam Prabhavam Dandi. So Yamaraji says, Te Dev Siddha Parigita Pavitra Gatha. So the devotees of the Lord who are glorified by Te Dev Siddha Parigita Pavitra Gata, by Siddha Lokas and the upper planetary systems. Even the devotees are glorified by these people. Te Dev Siddha Parigita Pavitra Gata, Ye Sadhava, this sadhus or the devotees of the Lord, Samadrisho, who are equipoised, who see everyone equally, Ye sadhava samadrisho bhagavat prapannam, who are completely surrendered at the lotus feet of the Lord. So the description of the devotees is given by Yamaraji in first two lines. That who are the devotees? And then he tells that tanna upashidita. Please don't go close to them. He instructs the Yamadutas. Tanna upashidita. Why? Because they are protected. Tanna upashidita gader harer gadaya abhiguptan, because they are protected by the club of the Supreme Lord. Tanna upashidita gader harer gadaya abhiguptan naisham vayam nachavayam prabhavamadandi. And to such devotees of the Lord, what to speak of me or Brahmaji? Even the time factor cannot affect such devotees. So this was the description and the privilege that Yamaraji told about to the Yamadutas. And then in next verse, he further gives the clear instruction to the Yamadutas. He said, Jivhana Vakti Bhagavat Gunanamadheyam Chetasya Nasmarati Tacharnaravindam Krishnaya No Namati Yakshire Kadapi Tananaya Dhavan Akritta Vishnu Krityan. He says that Jivhana Vakati Bhagavad Gunanamadhevyam, that people whose tongue does not utter the holy names of the Lord, Jivhana Vakati Bhagavad Gunanamadhevyam, Chetasya Nasmarati Tacharnaravindam, the heart of the people who does not behold the beautiful form of the Lord, Krishnaya No Namati Yakshire Ekadapi, the head which does not bow down in the front of the Supreme Lord, Kananaya Dhavan, Akritya Vishnu Krityan, get such people to me who does not follow the religious injunctions which are given in the Shastras. So these were the clear instructions given by Yamaraji to the Yamadutas, that these devotees of the Lord who are completely surrendered at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, you do not go close to them. Instead, get the people who do not, you know, take my names, who do not surrender unto me, who do not bow down unto me. So this is the privilege that a devotee has. When we come to the temple, in the temple hall, we bow down into the in front of the deities. We see the beautiful form of the Lord. We chant the holy name of the Lord. So unknowingly, we are actually ensuring ourselves, or we are protecting ourselves from the clutches of Yamaraji or the Yamadutas, unknowingly. So this is the power of the devotional service, that the devotee who is engaged in the process of devotional service automatically gets the grace of the Lord, and he has been transferred without any effort towards the spiritual abode of the Supreme Lord. There was a reporter who asked Srila Prabhupada that the devotees in ISKCON, they're fasting, they are always, not eating onion, garlic, no non-veg, no illicit sex, no gambling, no drinking wine. So after performing so much tapasya, so much austerities, what if at the end of the life you come to know there is no one called Krishna, the spiritual world doesn't exist? What will happen? You all will be so morose, so disappointed, so frustrated. So Srila Prabhupada said to this reporter that even if at the end of our life we come to know that there is no such personality of such called Krishna, but still we will be happy and content for living such a pure life. In amidst the association of such wonderful people, coming to temple, living a very sattvic life. We'll be happy for living such a sattvic and wonderful life. However, what if you come to know that Krishna exists at the end of your life? And what if you come to know the law of karma also exists at the end of your life? What will happen to you? So here, Srila Prabhupada very wonderfully answers the question and makes clear about the destiny of the devotees of the Lord. And this destiny, or this particular spiritual destination that we all as a devotee get, is possible only after making right choices. As we all heard in today's discussion, that how a devotee makes right choice and surrenders himself unto the lotus feet of the Lord, and based on that right choices, he becomes, he gets the mercy of the Supreme Lord, and the Lord ensures that such a devotee has been transferred to his spiritual abode without any efforts. Just like Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj were transferred, Tukaram Maharaj also transferred to the spiritual abode because of making their right choices. So we all also should pray that in front of the deities, that let we have this right, the intelligence to make right choices in our life and avoid making wrong choices. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Sorry for going over time. We have no time for questions or comments. Thank you.